Well, tell us what the latest issues are on the World Affairs Brief for this week.
Well, what we're seeing in the news is a variety of stories basically surrounding the Iraq War and the activities of war and the war on terrorism as it's being presented back to the White House. Basically, it seems like in general, President Bush has had to go on the defensive from a variety of fronts about the Iraq War and for a variety of reasons. And so there's kind of a whole bunch of news stories that kind of reflect those things. And maybe a good place to start this kind of potpourri of war talk would be with an article that was written by Representative Ron Paul entitled The Hidden Cost of War. And in that, he brings up 9 costs of war that we should probably reflect on at this time.
All right, fine. What are those 9 costs of the war?
Well, the first one is that the costs of war are always much more than anticipated, while the benefits are much less. In other words, as a war goes on over time, a lot of people have fairly selective memory about how much that we were told at the beginning of what this war would cost, and then as time goes on and the budgets get slid under the counter and things and more money is appropriated, people start to forget about how those promises were betrayed.
But of course, the thing is that a war is always a means of changing the society, the combatants, and certainly every time we've gotten into a war, we've lost a little bit more freedom. The value of our currency, the value of our holdings, and even our moral values have been undermined.
That's right. So as we go through these 9 costs of war, it's important for us to add more than just up the budgetary funds that are growing at an unprecedented rate, but also, as Representative Paul says in point number 2, that the cost of war is more than just the dollars spent. It includes the deaths, the injuries, the destruction, the unintended consequences, the collateral damage, the debts and hidden inflation that occurs, and the government and how the government purposely uses these taxes, these tactics and other debts and inflation and things to avoid raising taxes, which would put pressure on the popularity of a particular war.
And of course, what they do is they simply borrow the money. And of course, that means that the future generations will have to pay for the war because the politicians don't want to be unpopular with the people, so they simply put off paying for it. But in the process, of course, they inflate the money supply and destroy the value of the savings of the people. And the average individual doesn't understand that we're not paying for this war. At least we're not paying it for money now. It is simply they're robbing from future generations.
That's right. So the next thing we have to add that to the balance sheet first. So first we take in all, you know, the straight dollar sum that we can track by the appropriations committees and other things.
Hold that thought right there. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and our special guest this afternoon is Derek Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And we're talking about the issues that World Affairs Brief feel are really the most significant. And if you don't read World Affairs Brief, you really should. Of course, you can go up on their web page, as I do every morning, one of the first things I do. I want to summarize what's going on throughout the world, and they've done a wonderful job of summarizing it. But then every week they could put out an analysis of the news put out by Joel Skousen. And with us today, of course, is Derek Skousen, talking about an article by Ron Paul, Congressman Ron Paul, about the cost of war and how we never are allowed to really understand the cost of war, the suffering, what it really does, the casualty figures they always juggle around. They talk about the number of people killed in Iraq, but we never talk about the number of people killed in Afghanistan in the same way. And then we never want to talk about the number of people who have lost arms and legs and will be permanently crippled. And then the fact that the financing of this is always put off. If we were paying for this, if they were going to massively increase our taxes, why, the war would be very unpopular, but they don't want it unpopular. So they simply borrow the money from future generations and endanger the very stability of our currency system. So pick up the story there, Derek.
So as we're putting together kind of this balance sheet of the real cost of a war, like the war in Iraq, we put all of those things together, and Ron Paul has said in point number one that you take the basic dollar figure, and in point number two, then we have to add all of the human capital that includes the death, industry, injuries, collateral damage, etc., and then we also add on the debt and hidden inflation that goes in, as you mentioned. Now, point number three refers to what the government has to do to maintain the war over time as support for offensive wars wears thin, especially when these wars do not end quickly. The government has to take up a form of systematic lying, I guess you should say, in order to justify their mistakes. Because, of course, the government never admits mistakes.
And they lie to us. They lie to us about that. Tillman, what was his name? Pat Tillman. You remember the football player? And they build up a wonderful story about how he went down shooting and killing the enemy. And he was actually killed by friendly fire. He was simply used as a pawn in the propaganda war. The Jessica Lynch story of the girl who was captured, wounded, and taken to the Iraqi hospital. And heroic special forces goes in to rescue her. It was all a fraud. Yeah, there were no Iraqi soldiers there. The Iraqis had been trying to turn her over to the Americans. It was all to manipulate the American people. And that's what's so unconscionable. In wartime, the first casualty is the truth. Well, Dr. Stan, and I guess this afternoon, Derek Skousen from World Affairs Brief, talking about the cost of the war, and after talking about the human cost and the financial cost, and then he's pointing out the fact that when you have a war and it drags on, why the government lies. The government comes up with all sorts of propaganda and lies, not just for the enemy, but for the American people, to rally the support for the troops for a war that is being fought for entirely different purposes than we've ever been told, and certainly has to cover up the original justification for going to war, because we can't let the American people know that maybe the government knew the attack was coming on the World Trade Center and didn't try to stop it. But pick up the story there, Derek, because war is a means of destroying the very fabric of society. It destroyed ancient Greece, it destroyed ancient Rome, it's destroyed every society that's doing exactly what we're doing, and that is waging war after war after war.
And so what we're doing here is we're just listing these facts using the notes from this article by Representative Ron Paul from Texas, and number three was as we mentioned, the cost and truth, and the cost of American perception of the moral high ground and their morality as the government begins to lie to justify their mistakes. Number four is the cost in time, and we should back up and remember, we often forget that essentially the Iraq war now has been going on for 15 years with no end in sight. This Iraq war started way back in the first Gulf War, and it's been continuous since then. So the cost in time is critical to consider.
And we've been bombing Iraq almost on a daily basis for 10 years before we went in. The reason we did that was to soften them up so they'd be an easy target. And with the embargo and all, we knew there'd be no resistance. This is long-range planning. They just needed a justification for the war, but the war was planned over a decade ago, almost a decade and a half ago.
So, along with the cost and time and adding to the thing, we also need to consider the ulterior motives that too often preempt national security in offensive wars. In other words, and this is something we've talked about quite a bit here at the World Affairs Brief and often with you, Dr. Stan, it's the globalist motives to antagonize the world that go on behind the scenes, and so it's this combination of the motives and the antagonism, the bad feelings that we generate among our former allies and neighbors and friends around the rest of the world that undermines our national security.
Do you think that we're doing that intentionally to turn the whole world against America as we move from a position of dominance to a position where everybody hates America, Christian America?
Well, So I absolutely agree, but I would like to modify the term we, because, in fact, we is not just America that's doing this. We need to understand that this is a globalist agenda,
right,
of which the United States is playing a leading role, and that the United States is one piece on the chessboard, so to speak, that is being... And we are being manipulated.
And we are being manipulated. And it's about time the American people said, we're not going to put up with this. We are simply being manipulated into a much larger war, into what I believe is World War III. It is because the leaders of this country have no loyalty to the United States. And I'm talking about the leaders of both political parties. Their loyalty is to this globalist dream. That's why they're not trying to close our borders down. That's why they're encouraging immigration. To destroy the infrastructure of this society. They know what they're doing. That's why they're bankrupting this country. When the financial crisis comes, it's going to impoverish our people. They know exactly what they're doing. You could not act this irresponsibly, unintentionally. Let's go ahead, Derek.
So this fifth item on the list of the hidden costs of war should be the cost to our national security and to our own desires to be part of a good neighbor in the world and among our allies and representing good, because we are submitting to globalist motives. Number six is that powerful nations too often forget humility in their relationships to their other countries. So this emphasizes, in fact, the cost that we are incurring in our relationships with the other countries around us. Number seven is world history and religious dogmatism are too often ignored and misunderstood. So, in other words, the cost to our history, as the truth is being brought down, as religions like Islam are being manipulated towards these globalist ends, and as war ends up rewriting the course of history that goes on. We are losing a certain amount of truth in our historical understanding of things, and that's another of the key hidden costs of war.
And I think people look at America as a Christian nation, and they see what we're doing. They see a preemptive strike. They see that our leaders, Christian leaders, are using this war just like any other tyrants would. And then the stories of the torture and the other things and the slaughter of the civilians over there. It suggested 100,000 Iraqi civilians have been killed. What does that do to people's perception of Christianity?
That's right. It affects the perception of Christianity in those countries, and it affects improperly the perceptions of Islam and others in Christian countries. And so it's this distortion of truth and history that occurs in this process of waging war that needs to be added to the overall hidden cost of war. Number eight is the growth of world government, or to rephrase that in the form of cost, the cost to national sovereignty. And world government is always an increased powers of world government is always an outgrowth of a major war. But world government itself, as Representative Paul says, is no panacea for limiting war. World government, in fact, is aiming at a monopoly on power and not an end to war necessarily. Monopoly on power is the goal, and it will be turned against any nation who in the future decides to resist against that monopoly on power.
And, of course, that is the major motivation of the leaders of both of our political parties and the leaders of Europe and so many leaders throughout the world. The New World Order, the New World Religion. When you understand that, everything makes sense. Go on.
So, and last of all, number nine, most wars could be avoided with better diplomacy, a mutual understanding of minding one's own business, and a respect for the right of self-determination. So if we look at that, the concept of diplomacy, of minding one's own business, being a good neighbor, respecting different countries' right to self-determination, respecting individual rights, these are core concepts of morality that we believe in. And these concepts are being lost in the war, especially a war like the war on Iraq and the way we see it unfolding. And it's these core concepts of self-determination, of the golden rule, and diplomacy, and being respectful of other people's directions and religions, etc., that is core to our concept of here in America, and that is being spent in the battlefields of Iraq.
I agree with you totally, and this whole idea that we brought democracy to Iraq. Well, who picked the candidates who ran? The names weren't released until 2 days before the election. Who picked them? Nobody knew who was running until 2 days beforehand because our forces were afraid that the terrorists would kill them. So they never told anybody who was running. Did anybody think this is really a free democratic election that we put on over there? We picked the people who were going to run. We picked the people who were going to win. And, of course, people went through the motion and remember the pictures of the people with the ink on their finger holding it up. This was all for the benefit of the American people. The people in Iraq know that this was not a democratic election. What about the democratic election we brought to Afghanistan? Not a democratic election. Karzai was the employee of UNICAL. He was a man we picked and we put in power and we're keeping in power with sheer military might. We have enough might to keep him in power, not enough might to stop the growth of 380,000 acres of poppies. Oh, we couldn't do anything about that, but we can keep Karzai, the representative of Union Oil, in power over there, just as in Iraq today. Why we are dividing up the oil? What gives us the right to do it? Why we're the conqueror. And we're building 14 military bases, and our boys are not coming home, and they're not telling the American people the truth. Who is financing this whole resistance movement? Why, the money's coming from our good friends in Saudi Arabia. The money's coming from our good friends in Syria and in Pakistan and in Iran. Why don't we stop the funding of the terrorist movement that is destabilizing the country? Well, if we stopped it, how would we justify staying there? Go ahead there.
So those are essentially the nine costs of war, as illustrated by Representative Ron Paul. And I think it's useful, kind of in summary, to reflect on, you know, when we talk about the costs of war, everyone I believe understands intuitively that war is an expensive and difficult and painful and something that should be avoided. And yet we can think, many people can think of reasons why war needs to happen to defend our core beliefs of liberty and sovereignty and nation. But when these costs go against those core beliefs, that's when we understand that the war is way beyond the cost that should be borne.
Well, as one of the Civil War generals said, war is cruelty. War is barbarity. You can't refine it. War is hell. And yet, of course, we plunge blindly into another war. And where is the outcry from the Christian church? Where is the outcry from our Christian leaders? Well, as long as our Christian president is leading us and tells us, of course, we had to go over there before Saddam Hussein attacked New York City, why we were justified. Ladies and gentlemen, men and women become accomplices to the evils they failed to oppose. What are you doing about what's going on today? Our four-tape set on the JFK assassination includes an interview with Lee Harvey Oswald. Of course, it's not an interview that I did, but it is an interview, and you'll actually hear Lee Harvey Oswald talking before the time of the assassination. A two-hour interview with Colonel Fletcher Prouty, who was the liaison between the Pentagon and the CIA at the time of the assassination of an American president. And then, of course, my overall analysis of the reasons why President Kennedy was assassinated. There's so much information that has not been put out. And if you listen to this four-tape set, you will begin to understand that there are forces at work behind the scenes which have been able to confuse the American people about the reality of the murder of an American president. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, that's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for the JFK assassination tapes.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In November of 1991, the 60 Minutes television show first reported on the French paradox The fact the French violate every dietary rule for good health, eat a diet rich in fats and calories, and yet exhibit far better cardiovascular health than North Americans. Over a decade later, we know that molecules called polyphenols are responsible for the health benefits in red wine. But those molecules only remain stable in a sealed bottle of red wine. Longevinix is the first dietary supplement to stabilize red wine molecules in a sealed capsule, just like the corked bottle of red wine, providing red wine polyphenols without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives. One Longevinix capsule is equivalent in polyphenols to drinking 5 glasses of red wine. Call 866-405-4000 today to order Longevinix. It's a revolutionary dietary supplement. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Leading-edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here. Our guest this afternoon is Derek Skallison of World Affairs Brief. And of course, you know, what's really so interesting is that I take the communist newspapers. I've read them for 40 years. The communists are all against this war. Now, does that mean that we should be on the communist side? Certainly we shouldn't be on the communist side. Should we be supporting the war? You have to understand that they finance both sides. And if people who never read the book Foundations, Their Power and Influence, and realize that the communist movement in the United States and largely throughout the world has been financed from the United States since its inception, then you can begin to understand what's happening. Are you going to be on the communist side? Are you going to support the war? Which side do you want to be on? I don't like either side. Pick up the story there, Derek.
Yes, well, so we're talking about the financing of wars and of various ideologies. And to a certain extent, you know, communism is an ideology, one that I personally believe is very flawed and actually very dangerous. But ideologies are manipulated, and they're manipulated by very practically oriented and to a certain extent Machiavellian individuals and powers who collect funds and who try and manipulate the direction of the course of the world to gain this monopoly on power that Ron Paul mentioned in the last of his 9 points on the hidden costs of war. And if you want to read more about that, you can go to Ron Paul's website. And you can there's a link to that on worldaffairsbrief.com, but it's at www.house.gov/Paul. That's Ron Paul's website, not ours, of course. I'd like to move next to a headline that relates very directly to what you were talking about in terms of funding and manipulation of countries. The headline I'm referring to comes from Sunday's Washington Post over the lead story entitled "Debt Cut is Set for Poorest Nations." And as Paul Bluestein wrote, the world's wealthiest nations agreed yesterday to cancel more than $40 billion in debts that some of the world's poorest nations owe to international leaders, a move inspired by the belief that full debt forgiveness is necessary to give those countries a chance to escape the trap of hunger, disease, and economic stagnation. Sounds wonderful in general, right?
Absolutely. But what's the truth?
Well, basically what it comes down to is the deal is expected to ease the 18 poorest countries' annual debt burdens by $1.5 billion. There's, of course, it adds up in total to more than $40 billion. And the list of countries includes everything from Benin and Bolivia, Ghana, Guyana, Honduras, Niger, Rwanda, Zambia, just the whole list of all the poorest countries as well, and it says that all of these must take anti-corruption measures. Now, that last line you hear about the requirement to take anti-corruption measures, it raises an interesting a red flag and a whole bunch of discussion. Where did all that money go?
It went from poor people in a rich country to the rich people in a poor country.
That's right. That's exactly right, Dr. Stan. And so, as soon as you realize that all those countries have to take anti-corruption measures and we're forgiving all of this debt, you almost have to start to break out laughing at the irony of this whole headline and the situation and what happens to all this money.
And the thing is, how could you forgive $40 billion? You have to understand, it's a fiat money system. There's nothing behind it. It's all created. It's all a matter of perception. It's all an illusion. You make bank entries, and then you force the people to pay debt. And there's one reason they want to forgive it is because most of these countries aren't paying their debt, so the IMF and the World Bank and the Agency for African Development have to keep lending these countries more money so that their balance sheets look all right, because they don't have the money to pay back. I mean, they're already taking almost half of all the money they collect from these poor and impoverished people to service the debt, there's just no way they can ever get out of debt. And that was the way it was planned. We put these people into debt intentionally to keep them subjugated. And all this talk about concern and humanity and concern about disease and poverty, that is for the people here at home. I go into these countries and realize they're far poorer since we started lending them money than they were beforehand.
That's right. And so it's interesting to analyze this activity of what happens to that $40 billion. Where's it going? Who's it going through? And where is it coming from? You know, we have to follow the money, as we say, as we've been learning.
All right, you're going to have to hold that thought when we get back. Of course, I want to follow the money. Where did it come from? Where did it go? And of course, how are the American people and the people of these tragic countries being built once again? We'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. So
silver coins or bullion in the last several years? If so, you've most likely been taken advantage of. In a lot of cases, out and out lied to. There are several tricks of the trade in play in the precious metals and collector coin markets. This is especially true during a hot market. Although it doesn't take a savvy investor to avoid the pitfalls of unscrupulous coin and metals dealers, it does take some common sense and the knowledge of which questions to ask. The asset management professionals at Colonial Resources can arm you with a few simple questions to ask your current broker or coin dealer. To find out if you've been taken advantage of, or if you're thinking of investing, call Colonial Resources toll-free, 1-800-685-4042. The precious metals and collector coin markets are hot and definitely where the smart money is heading. But before you make a mistake that could cost you hundreds or even thousands of dollars, call the professionals at Colonial Resources. The call and the advice are free. 1-800-685-4042. That's 800-685-4042.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done. Get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is Derek Skousen from World Affairs Brief. And if you don't go to World Affairs Brief on your computer every morning and read down and scroll down on the various articles they have there, you're going to miss a lot of the important news, because in the controlled media is not going to tell you most of what's happening. Remember, in war, the first casualty is the truth. Well, even in peacetime in the United States, with the five mega corporations dominating the American media and controlling what we think, you need other sources of information. World Affairs Brief is the place to go. But, Derek, how can people learn more about getting that weekly analysis you put out?
Well, a great way to learn more about the weekly analysis is to call a toll-free number and get a free hard copy of the latest World Affairs Brief. And that toll-free number is 1-800-877-518-5888. Let me just say that again. That's toll-free, 877-518-5888. And if you call that number, they'll be able to send you a free complimentary hard copy of the same World Affairs Brief analysis that we send to all of our subscribers via email. And if you'd like to subscribe to that email to get that analysis of the week's news in your inbox every weekend, you can do that by going to www.worldaffairsbrief.com and click on the subscribe button, and it'll walk you through how to get that analysis. But there's a variety of information there at worldaffairsbrief.com where you can look at some of the analysis that has been done before, read everything from the latest breaking news that we've gathered from news sites all over the world to collections of some of the analysis about key topics from the news over the past few years.
All right, fine. Well, now, what was the point you were going to make before I so rudely interrupted you?
Well, let's see. If I remember right, we were talking about the $40 billion debt right. Write-off to third world countries. And This debt write-off is being hailed as the most magnanimous act since the Marshall Plan because the numbers are so big. But there's really another way to look at it, and that's that George Bush signed on to one of the biggest bailouts in history. And the question is, who is being bailed out? And to analyze that, actually a good source of analysis for this particular story is the column by Pat Buchanan. And he wrote four key things to keep in mind about where the money is going and how it is rolling through. The first is that the $40 billion was squandered or stolen by the most corrupt regimes and the biggest thieves in the third world. That money is gone. We will never see it again. And the wastrels and crooks who got away with it are not going to be pursued.
Okay. So. And, of course, these are the corrupt people who are, you know, they live very high. There's always a ruling elite in every country. And then, of course, they simply enslave the rest of the people. And they keep them under constant taxation. And then they take away what little they get, you know, that they have in the form of taxation and use it to benefit themselves.
That's right.
Okay, fine. Well, was there any other points you wanted to make on that issue?
Oh, yes. The second point is that the bankers of the IMF, the World Bank, and the African Development Bank, who failed to do due diligence when they made the $40 billion in loans and lied about how good the loans were, are not going to be exposed and prosecuted for losing all of our money. The third point is that the IMF, the World Bank, and the African Development Bank are going to see all the lost funds, their lost funds, replenished, so they can start flying around to all the same exotic countries and shelling out new loans for the same crowd of crooks and incompetents. And finally, the fourth point is that who has to pay for it? Well, the American taxpayers, because they are the primary supporters of the IMF, the World Bank, and the African Development Bank. They all have to pony up the cash for this historic bailout, as it's been being heralded in the international press.
Taking money from poor people in a rich country to give it to rich people in a poor country, and that's the way the game is played. Okay, what's the next item we're going to cover?
All right. Well, there's a variety of some small items, and one of them is that the tapes were recently released to the BBC about the trial of Saddam Hussein. The key takeaway from that particular story is that no sound was provided to any of the tapes. And the BBC admitted that the tapes were mute, that they wouldn't allow the Western countries to hear or have access to what Saddam actually said in his trial.
Maybe he was going to say, look, the American government financed me all during the 1980s. I mean, shouldn't their leaders be responsible along with me? But I'm sure we're never going to hear that.
That's right.
And all they gave us the chemical and the biological weapons and the ability. They gave us massive loans to build up our military. We were carrying out their programs, and they even sent over their special forces to help us use the poison gas on the Iranians. We can't let the American people know that. Saddam Hussein is a wicked, wicked man. But what about the people who backed him and financed him and even backed him after and continued to finance him after he had killed, you know, tens of thousands, if not 100,000 Kurds with poison gas, and I don't know how many Iranians. What about the people in our government who backed him after he had done that? Don't they bear some criminal responsibility?
That's right. In this world where war, even civil wars like Saddam Hussein is running, they're all being run for the purposes of the globalists. And so any kind of war crimes tribunal that's run by the globalists is by nature a sham.
Amen. Many countries would like to bring charges against Henry Kissinger, and that's why he is loath to travel outside this country, because if he were, he would be arrested for massive war crimes and for backing the war crimes that were committed by the people in Chile, the Chilean military, and the crimes were committed by the Guatemalan military. But, of course, we never talk about that here in America. After all, Henry is a friend of the administration.
That's right. So, I mean, it takes some time for people to get used to this concept that we try and repeat here on your show, Dr. Stand, about how America needs to understand what's going on around the world and how it affects us individually. And it takes some time to get used to the fact that the regular news that you hear and the kind of understanding of the world that all of our neighbors has is a skewed version of the truth. And as we talk about the cost of war, we can start to see the reasons why that truth has been skewed. But in order to understand the truth of things that are going on in the world, it takes, you know, first a reconstruction of history, and as many of your pamphlets and tapes and other things are so helpful to do. And then these discussions that we have about the world and the World Affairs Brief that talks about the ongoing manipulation of history and perception in our daily news and in current events. So keeping up with this twisting of current events and unraveling it as we do here today is a process that we all need to work on.
So what is your take on the fact that these tapes of Saddam are mute? In other words, they just, for some reason or other, they just don't want to let us know what's being said there?
Well, actually, I agree right now with your analysis that Saddam is probably going to say that these things that he's on trial for were funded by the United States, and that the CIA was involved in all of this activity, and who was guiding him, who was helping him, and who was paying for it all, and that he was in fact a pawn of the same globalists that are putting him on trial, and so that obviously you can't say that to the Western countries, because it would reveal too much. It would beg too many questions about what's going on, and so they're basically just going to use him as a mute video sequence.
Sort of like Scott Peterson and Michael Jackson, the Saddam trial will be a great deal of entertainment for the American people. Hey, well, let's go quickly to Fred, who's calling in from Salinas, who's been waiting patiently for 10 minutes. Hi, Fred. Did you have a question for our guest?
I just wanted to tell Mr. Skousen that I watched an interview on C-SPAN with a man named Lawrence Rook, who is the communications director for the World Bank. And even in this interview, he admitted that of that $40 billion, 95% of that $40 billion went for consultants' fees, and only 5% went for actual construction of them.
Yeah, those must have been pretty good consultants.
He never quite explained who these consultants were, but there's a lot of consulting going on someplace here.
Okay. Anything else, Fred?
No, that's it.
Thanks so much. Okay. Do you have any comment at all on Fred's remarks?
Well, I appreciate Fred's remarks in bringing that aspect up about that these consultants, you know, it's interesting to track the consultants of the world. We spend a lot of time talking about how all of these globalist manipulations are from the leaders of the United States and political leaders in Europe and others. But it's not just the political leaders. The globalists are very much a core of these international political consulting organizations. And if you ever wonder about that fact, where do all the politicians go when they're done being politicians? Where did Donald Rumsfeld go when he resigned from the administration? He went into the consulting business.
And he became the president of J.D. Searle.
That's right. And so these are the consultants who are receiving all of this money that were set up by the administrations that many of these consultants were part of before.
And Cheney spent all of his life in government until he got left with the Bush administration, the first Bush administration. Then he became not employed by Halliburton. He was the CEO of Halliburton. Gee, how do you get started at the very top? And then, of course, it's amazing, after he left Halliburton, he got something called a deferred salary. They kept paying him a salary even when he was the vice president. Some people might think there was a conflict of interest, but I'm sure there isn't any.
Well, as we've analyzed in past World Affairs Briefs, you can see how Halliburton gets exclusive consulting fees at very high rates for these kinds of third world activities that are put together by administrations that Cheney is head of, as the money goes from U.S. taxpayers through the IMF and back into Halliburton, and so these processes. Cheney is via bringing a great deal of money to Halliburton. Halliburton is doing very, very well under the Cheney administration, and so I'm sure that Halliburton doesn't feel like their money is ill spent.
Right, I'm sure. Anyway, let's go to Herman, who's calling from Pacific Grove. Hi, Herman. How are you doing?
Good evening. Just a quick question. Why didn't the special forces that found Saddam Hussein just kill him on the spot? That would have saved a lot of messy trial business.
Well, I can't answer that. I assume that the orders were that they wanted him captured. They wanted a show trial because this is, of course, it keeps idle minds busy when you have a show trial. They certainly didn't try to take his two sons prisoner. Any comment at all on that, Derek?
Yes. Well, the Special Forces has done that in the past. And one of the things is that's key to understand is that it isn't just the fact that you have to keep the truth truth undercover that's key to understand. It's the fact that you have to manipulate the truth and change it into your direction. So having Saddam Hussein captured was, of course, a very big success story for the administration. And the capturing of him and bringing him forward was very, very important to the administration and to the globalist cause of seeing progress in the and you just don't have a story as big of a one. He's just dead. So the story value and the ability to manipulate the truth further as you use him as a video clip for your own bylines and text that you get to write underneath it is so much more valuable than just having a dead body. And that's my opinion, and I really appreciate you bringing up that question.
Anything else, Herman?
Do you believe that the same would be true for Osama bin Laden if he's still alive?
Well, that's a good question. You know, will it follow through? Will they use the same script? I don't know. They get to write their own script. We often have talked about here on this particular radio show about Osama bin Laden as basically being a character invented and created by the globalists to do their bidding by the United States. So it was, Osama bin Laden was made by the U.S. And so, they can recreate him and build him into another role, just like they are doing with Saddam Hussein at this point.
Yeah, we actually did an interview with Ken Timmerman yesterday, and he said that there's a great deal of evidence that he has from a number of reliable sources that Osama bin Laden is in Iran. We've heard this from other sources as well. But you see, they can't kill Osama bin Laden. That would end that war on terrorism. We would have won the war, and then how would we justify continuing the war? And this is so true. We actually have a clipping. Anybody out in our listening audience would like to see it from the Washington Times. I believe it was about October 5th or 7th of 2001 by a high government official saying, "We're not going after Osama bin Laden in Afghanistan. If we got him, how would we justify the war?" We carry the book by Paul Sperry, who is formerly with WorldNet Daily, and he wrote a wonderful book called Crude Politics. Talk to the people, the special forces who came back from Afghanistan. They said they weren't allowed to get Osama bin Laden. You have to understand, if we got Osama bin Laden, how would we justify the war? We carry the book. Incidentally, the publisher didn't try to circulate the book. You have to ask yourself why. What are your thoughts on that sort of thing? Do you think that they would really not try to get Osama bin Laden so we could continue justifying the war because we have to have an enemy? And he is the ideal enemy, the ideal villain?
Well, actually, I'm really glad that Herman asked that follow-on question about Osama bin Laden, because I think you're absolutely right, Dr. Stan. It's not so much a matter of will they do the same thing with Osama bin Laden when they catch him, but will they catch him at all?
Right.
And you're absolutely right, Dr. Stan. It would be silly to catch Osama bin Laden, and historical precedent shows that they won't catch Osama bin Laden, just like they did not catch Saddam Hussein at the end of the first Gulf War. They could have, but they needed Saddam Hussein to remain the boogeyman and to remain the reason why the Iraq War has gone on for years and years and years. And without that, you have to take a war to... There's a conclusion, and a conclusion to war means a conclusion for the necessity of a monopoly of power. And that's why globalism will never mean peace. And, will Saddam Hussein ever be captured? Well, maybe not. He's such a great
Osama
villain.
Bin Laden.
Osama bin...
Hey, we're out of time. God bless. Thanks so much, Derek. We'll look forward to talking to you tomorrow night.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wondered about the boys we left behind in Vietnam, in Korea? Did you ever know that we left 25,000 American boys behind in Russia, in Siberia, at the end of the Second World War? Have you ever wondered what really happened at Oklahoma City, what really happened with TWA 800 that went down off the eastern coast about a year ago? Well, ladies and gentlemen, all of the subjects are well covered in a fascinating book by Craig Roberts entitled The Medusa File. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, order The Medusa File. Actually, Craig Roberts was a police officer working on the Oklahoma City bombing. Now, this book has been suppressed very effectively across America. It's self-published, but I promise you that there's no other book I know that'll give you more contemporary history, frightening history that every American needs to know. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now.
Sophisticated investors are buying gold and silver today because the dollar has lost almost 50% of its value in relationship to the euro, and the price of gold and silver has increased almost 40%. If you're interested in learning more about precious metal investing, why don't you call Bo at 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177, or visit him at Elliott's Stamp and Coin Shop in downtown Santa Cruz at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building, which is located between Trader Joe's and the Signature Twin Movie Theater. Bo's telephone number is 831-423-0177. That's 831-423-0177. And he's located at 141 South River Street in the San Lorenzo office building. And if you mention you heard about Elliott Stamp and Coin Shop on Radio Liberty, why, you'll get a 15% discount on some non-investment items.
Are you concerned about your child's future? Well, it starts with a sound education. VHM provides for that cornerstone of your child's future with a quality education founded on biblical principles. Our school sets high academic goals while developing moral standards. From preschool through eighth grade, your child is taught by experienced and credentialed teachers in all subjects, including our dynamic music program and state-of-the-art computer classes. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it." For over 50 years, VHM Christian School has provided peace of mind to parents knowing their children are receiving an excellent education in a loving environment. VHM is located at 427 Capitola Road Extension in Santa Cruz. Won't you call us today at 475-4762? That's VHM Christian School at 475-4762. Doesn't your child deserve a chance to try VHM?
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and I hope you enjoyed our interview with Derek Skousen, and I think the material is excellent. If you'd like to know more about the fact that we never tried to get Osama bin Laden, that the special forces weren't allowed to go after him, well, you can give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544. We'll send you a copy of the article out of the Washington Times on Osama bin Laden. Better still, the book Crude Politics by Paul Sperry, an excellent book going into the whole background of how, we were planning on this war with Afghanistan long before the 9/11 attack. We had to have a war over there so that we could put the pipeline across there to begin to get the war out of the Caspian Sea. So if you'd like to get the book Crude Politics, we'll be glad to send you the clipping, or we'll be glad to send you the clipping by itself. And then when we talk about what's happening in third world countries, this massive debt that they have actually taken on, the best book on that is called Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins, who was recruited by the National Security Agency, the top flight spy agency in the country, and then taken into a secret world where very few people have been, told that he must never reveal a secret. And the secret was, his job was to go into these third world countries as a consultant and get them to take on all sorts of building projects, where, of course, they would be hiring American corporations to get these countries in debt so the people would be enslaved. The book, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, is really revealing. He talks about Iraq and how if Saddam Hussein had simply gone along with the agenda and, of course, turned his country over to the globalists, everything would have been fine. Let them exploit the country. The desert would have bloomed, and, of course, everybody would be very happy. Saddam Hussein would be wealthy and powerful, but Saddam wouldn't go along with the agenda, and of course, then they were going to destroy him, as they destroy everybody. Now, Saddam is a wicked man. No questions he's a wicked man. But we backed him right up until the point where it became obvious he wasn't going to go along with our agenda. So the book Confessions of an Economic Hitman is we've sold probably 40 or 50 copies of this. We think it's a very important book. We have a four-tape set titled Economic Hitman. And it's my interviews with John Perkins, the author, plus a couple of my weekend programs. It makes a great analysis of what's really going on economically. As they use this fiat money system that we have to create money out of nothing, then to enslave the people in third world countries. So, again, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, or the four-tape set, Economic Hitman. To really understand what happened on September 11th, a four-tape set, 911 update, we certainly recommend that to you. And then we do hope that many of you will get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, will read it, and, of course, get it in other people's hands as well. You can get the book by itself, or you can get the video, or you can get the audio tape. You can get them all together for $29.95 as the Brotherhood of Darkness special. And we encourage you to copy the video. Copy the audio tape. They've actually changed people's lives. And people have actually left Masonry after having come to understand that this is truly a Luciferian organization. So we do hope that you'll get the information, that you'll document it, find out if we're really telling the truth. We've got many of the books. We talk about the writings of Manly P. Hall. Now, they're not listed in my catalog. My staff thought it would be inappropriate for a Christian ministry to carry satanic books, but you can request Manly P. Hall's The Secret Teachings of All Ages. That's The Secret Teachings of All Ages. His book on the lost keys of Freemasonry, where he talks about how when the Mason on the block has finally mastered his craft, then he will have the seething energies of Lucifer in his hands. And then, of course, The Secret Destiny of America, where Manly P. Hall tells about how this country was infiltrated back in the mid-1600s by occultists coming from Europe, and their goal was to take over America and bring about a new world order and a new world religion. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Our website, radioliberty.com. Please pray for America. Pray for revival, but pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection until tomorrow. May the Lord be with you.